Turn, please, to the book of Genesis, the 13th chapter. Genesis chapter 13. I have another subject that the Lord has laid upon my heart to share with you, and there are a great number of references. All of these are in your bulletin outline. Genesis 13. For many years, I have believed that Israel had every right to possess the land of Israel. Biblically, I have believed that Israel is God's chosen nation and that God watches over them. I have further held that those who stood with Israel would be blessed by God. Oh, by the way, I still believe those things. And if you've been paying any attention at all to the world news, then you know that Israel is once again a target. Anti-Semitism is nothing new. The nations of the world have long hated the Jews, and that is true yet today. Personally, I think that the world recognizes that God has a particular interest in that people, and it just gets their goat. But if you would recall, the people of Israel basically inhabited the land of Israel from the time of their entrance, 40 years after they left Egypt, until the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman general Titus in 70 A.D., you might also remember that Israel returned to the land and took possession on May 14, 1948. And it was on that date that the world, this present world, recognized the state of Israel. But all the issues with their occupation of the land are not resolved. And the world continues to keep their eye on this situation, mostly in opposition to Israel. Now, recently, the UN passed a resolution against Israel. The UN resolution of the National Security Council, number 2334, was adopted on the 23rd of December of 2016. And it concerns the Israeli settlements in, quote, Palestinian territories occupied since 1967, including East Jerusalem, end of quote. Now, the resolution passed in a 14-to-nothing vote by the members of the UN Security Council. Four members of the National Security Council with veto powers, China, France, Russia, and the United Kingdom, voted for the resolution, whereas the United States abstained. The resolution states that Israel's settlement activity, listen, constitutes a flagrant violation of international law and has no legal validity. That's what the UN is saying about Israel. Now, you got to understand what that means. And it demands that Israel stop such activity and fulfill its obligations as an occupying power under the Fourth Geneva Convention. And so Israel is at great risk of the UN. And this resolution that they passed, more recently, 70 nations gathered in Paris for a peace conference. By the way, that was last Sunday. And these 70 nations got together. This conference in Paris was set forward 1 year ago and was expected to have dire repercussions for Israel. Former French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius envisioned it as a way of forcing Israel to accept the two-state solution. His original proposal called for France and other nations at the conference to recognize a Palestinian state inside Israel's borders if an agreement was not signed between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. Now, many feared last Sunday's conference would be an echo of the UN Security Council resolution that I just mentioned, 2334. That was just passed. And, of course, they thought that would be a support of that, declaring Jewish presence in Judea, Samaria, and the Temple Mount to be illegal. But the conference in Paris stopped short of placing the blame entirely on Israel, concluding instead with a plea for direct negotiations. Now, that was a good thing for Israel's behalf. Though the final declaration made reference to the UN Resolution 2334, it amended the language of the resolution which declared Israeli settlements to be illegal. So they didn't use that word, illegal. The Paris conference merely referred to the UN resolution, quote, which clearly condemned the settlement activity, end of quote. And so no mention was made of the legal status. So what does this matter? Well, the question remains, what right does Israel have to occupy that land? As Christians, do we have any guidance in the Bible regarding this topic? And I believe that we do. It is then my objective to show that Israel has every right to occupy that land all the land and do so legally and, more importantly, with divine right. This matters because of the UN. It matters because of our participation in the UN and world affairs toward the nation of Israel. And as a Christian, you're going to have some sort of cognizance of where you're at on this thing. And I'm going to offer you this what the Bible has to say today. The title of the message is, and I just frankly lay it out there, the land is theirs. That's the title. The land is theirs. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day and the privilege of coming to your house and that which you laid upon my heart to share. And Lord, we ask that you would just direct us as we study and help us to see your word, help us to understand, comprehend, and let us always respond appropriately. And although we will not speak a direct gospel message today, I pray that you would be pleased to work in the heart of those that are lost, that they would recognize that you're a true God in heaven, and that they are accountable to you, and your word is true, and they are accountable to it. And Lord, help them, although we not speak the subject of salvation by grace through faith in Christ, we certainly encourage them to recognize their need and embrace Him. So we ask that you bless our time today. Help us to learn. Help us to be better servants. We ask in Jesus' name and amen. I believe with all my heart that the land of Israel is theirs. I want to prove that to you today. First of all, God promised the land to Abraham and to his descendants. I've asked you to turn to Genesis chapter 13. So we begin by reading verse 15. God speaking to Abram says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Now God promised the land to Abraham. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. I have a lot of verses that some of you I'll ask you to turn, some I will not. 28:13. Jacob sees this vision as he fled from Esau, his brother. But in 28:13 it says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." By the way, what you find there is the direct descendancy from Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, not from Abraham to Ishmael. It is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the biblical order. That's the promise that's given from Abraham unto his descendants. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. God speaking to Moses, telling him what he's going to do and bringing Israel out of Egypt and all that. Just bring your attention to verse 4. He says, "And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers." You see, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they had not really possessed the land. They were just inhabitants. They were strangers of the land. Israel came into Egypt, and they, of course, after a period of time, were enslaved. Now it's time for Israel to be set free out of Egypt. And God said that I am giving them the land of Canaan, with the land of their pilgrimage where they were strangers. So where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob live, I'm giving that land. I've already promised it. It's God's promise to the children of Israel. Go to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Verse 1. "And the Lord said to Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed I will give it." Listen, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20. "That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey His voice, that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7. "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide the inheritance of the land which I swear unto thy fathers, unto their fathers, to give them." Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 15. as they recount the history, and gave us them bread from heaven and their hunger, and brought us forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hadst sworn to give them. Now, I don't know about you, but that's sufficient evidence for me to prove that God gave a promise to Abraham and to the children of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and the descendants of Israel, that He would give them the promised land or give them the land of Canaan. God swore it unto them. Now, the second thing I bring to your attention, and I'm going to read a few verses here. God gave, then we know that God then gave the nation to them. He promised them the land, then He gave them that land. Listen, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 1. You'll have plenty of places to turn, so don't get too excited. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them I will give it, and they shall possess it. Remember, the children of Israel came up, and when they sent the 12 spies in to search the land, the 10 spies returned an evil report and said, "Oh, we can't take this." Joshua and Caleb said, "Yes, we can." And they said, "No, we can't. Our children will be killed and all that." God said, "You know what? Those children you said would be prey, I'll give them the land." And God did give them the land. God promised them the land. God gave the land. Exodus chapter 12, verse 25. "And it shall come to pass that when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as He hath promised, that ye shall keep this service." Leviticus 25, 2. "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep the Sabbath unto the Lord." Leviticus 25, 38. "I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God." Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 31. "But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it." God promised the land to the children of Israel, and God gave them the land. Now, you're there in Exodus. You should be anyway. Go back to chapter 6, Exodus 6. The third thing I bring to your attention, that this is reasonable in my line of thinking, is that God is the one who brought them into the land. Now, God said, "I promise you the land, I'll give you the land," and God brings them into the land. Exodus chapter 6, verse 8. "And I will bring you into the land." Who's going to bring Israel in? God said, "I will bring you into the land concerning that which I did swear to give it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord." I will bring you in, He says. Chapter 13, Exodus 13. Verse 5. "And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and of the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which He sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, thou shalt keep this service in this month." When who will bring you in? When the Lord will bring you in. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23, verse 23. "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." He said, "I'll bring thee in." Bring thee in. Two other references. Listen, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 30. And verse 5, "And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and He will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers." God will bring him in. Deuteronomy 31, 23, "And He gave Joshua the son of Nun in charge, and He said, Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee." So God promised the land. And God has given that land to them, and He brought them in, and does bring them in. That's what He did those years ago. Now then, that being the case, in giving Israel the land and bringing them in, what did God need to do? God needed to cast out the other nations. We've already seen a couple of verses where some of these other nations, that the inhabitants of the land, God brought them in. He had to cast them out. You're there in Exodus still, I trust. Look in chapter 34. Exodus 34. And verse 24. For I will cast out the nations before thee, and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. What did God say He would do? You're out here in the wilderness, you're wandering around. When you come into the land, I bring you into that land I promised to give you. I will cast out those inhabitants. And what was the God's command to the children of Israel when they were to come into the land? They were to destroy the inhabitants of the land. Now, they didn't obey that command. They did it the first. But they kind of let that thing slip. But what it was God was bringing judgment upon the seven nations of the land of Canaan. And the time of the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. But when it was, God brought the children of Israel into the land to bring judgment upon those nations. And in order for God to give them that land, He cast out those nations. Listen, if you will, to Leviticus chapter 18. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. By the way, there are some national sins that God takes notice of, and it doesn't matter who commits them. And God will judge those nations for those types of sins. And God's warning the children of Israel, don't do the things that they did before you came into the land. He says, I cast them out for those things. But God did cast them out. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 23. You shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. So God cast those nations out. Deuteronomy, if you would, turn over there, chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. While you're turning over there, I would remind each of us that those things are true toward the United States of America, that there are sins that God just abhors, and it doesn't matter who you are. And God's blood, for instance, defiles the land. And we have more innocent blood with the killing and slaughter of our babies than any nation this world has ever seen. And talk about the land spewing out its own inhabitants. It'll happen. It just hasn't happened yet by God's grace. But recognize judgment will come because God will cast out the nations for these things. God cast out those nations. That's what I was inviting you to concern yourself with. I've asked you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Look at verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. God did what? He cast them out. Deuteronomy chapter 12. A few more pages over. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Verse 29. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take heed to yourself that you don't be snared, that kind of a thing. But what do we read? We read in verse 29 that God cut off those nations. God gave them that land, and God's going to cut off those original inhabitants, gave the land to the children of Israel. We just read there that it shall be a possession. So my next point that I bring to your attention, and I have four verses, I'll read these to you. But Israel was then to possess the land that God gave them. God said, I'll bring you in. What were they supposed to do? Go into the land and possess it. Only makes sense, I think. Listen, if you will, Numbers chapter 34 and verse 12. And the border shall go down to Jordan, and the goings out of it shall be at the salt sea. This shall be your land with the coast thereof round about. And Mount Hermon down to Beersheba, down below there, from the Dead Sea and the Jordan River, westward over to the Mediterranean Sea, that's the children of Israel's land. You see, the argument now is, well, the children of Israel, they don't possess the West Bank, that's Palestinian control right now. And, well, what they're saying is Jerusalem doesn't belong, and all that land there on the west side belongs to the Palestinians. I'm sorry, it does not. The Palestinians had been inhabitants there at one time. I agree with that. But God cast them out. And if God cast them out and gave it to the children of Israel, then that supersedes anything that man says is legal or illegal. God gave the land to the children of Israel. And so they deserve all that land. And they deserve the West Bank. They deserve the Gaza Strip. They deserve all that because God gave them that land. That's what I read in the Scriptures. That's my understanding of it. And so they were to go in, they were to possess that land. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 23 is the second verse. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Listen, if you will, Deuteronomy 11, verse 31. For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you. You shall possess it and dwell therein. This is their divine right. Joshua chapter 23, verse 5. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. And I trust you realize that in these verses, and I've attempted not to repeat any of the verses, you still see repeated statements. God cast them out. I've sworn unto you. I've promised this to you. I've bring you into this place. And so what we have is the fact that God gave them that land, and in giving them that land, he cast those people out, and with the Israelites then coming into the land, they were to possess it. Last point that I want to bring to your attention is really, to me, just a fact, and that is that God gave the land to Israel for an inheritance. And we're not talking about the nations of the world at that time, the known world, got together and said, we'll allow you to live there. We're not talking about the UN or anything else. We're talking about the God of the universe, the creator and sustainer of this world. That God is the one that said, I will do these things. And God gave it to them for an inheritance, and nobody has the right to go against that. Listen, if you will, Exodus chapter 32, verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Isaac and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give it unto your seed, for they shall inherit it forever. Now that's what God said. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you, unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people. By the way, that's really why I think the nations of the world hate Israel. But God said, you're different than everybody else. Deuteronomy chapter 1. You should still be in Deuteronomy, so go back to chapter 1. I'm just demonstrating to you that the Bible teaches that God gave the land of Israel that land for an inheritance. Gave the land to Israel for an inheritance. Deuteronomy chapter 1, just a number of verses here. I have 8 more, and then I'll reach a conclusion. Verse 38. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And Joshua did that, did he not? Caused Israel to inherit the land. Chapter 4, Deuteronomy 4. Verse 21. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, that I should not go into the good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Moses sinned against God. And he smote the rock when he should have been speaking to the rock, and he just really did wrong there. And God said, because of that, you're not going to go in. And Moses makes this statement, because of you and my own choices, I can't go into the land, but God has given it to you for an inheritance. It's theirs, isn't it? Chapter 12, Deuteronomy 12, verse 10. Deuteronomy 12, 10. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you the rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety and so forth, and talks about where they'll set up and bring sacrifices. But God's caused you to inherit it. Chapter 16, Deuteronomy 16. God giving direction to the judges. Verse 20 says, "That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." They had an inheritance, didn't they? Chapter 19, Deuteronomy 19, verse 3. "Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coasts of thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither." Talks about the cities of refuge, but it's the land that God causes them to what? Inherit. Deuteronomy 25, 19. "Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, and thou shalt not forget it." God will give you that land and you possess it. It's your inheritance. And Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1. "And it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein." And he talks about the first fruits and other sacrifices. "All I submit unto you is the fact that God promised that land to Abraham and to his descendants, and it went through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God said, I'll give you that land. I will cast out those people before you, and you shall inherit it. You shall possess it. It is yours. This is your inheritance, and I will bring it to pass." That's what God said He would do. God did do that, and they inhabited that land. Now, as a result of their sin, I know you understand, they were carried into Babylonian captivity. They returned from that captivity, and there were some straw inhabitations of the land, but they really were not absolutely finished and cast out until, as I mentioned in the introduction, at 70 A.D. when the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed. And then Israel just wandered through the earth until 1948. But generally speaking, the land was theirs from the time 40 years after they came out of Egypt until the destruction of Jerusalem. Let me offer you these thoughts in closing. I think you get the idea. I believe the land is theirs. Because it is. Number one, you're there in Deuteronomy? You should be. Chapter 7. Go there, please. Deuteronomy 7. Number one, God has chosen the Jews as a peculiar people and a chosen nation from all the nations of the earth. Whether you like it or not. It's not British Israelism. It's not the American peoples. God chose the nation of Israel from all the nations of the world. That's what God tells us. We've already seen an indication of that, but Deuteronomy chapter 7, look at verse 6. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth." That's what God said. This is what happened. "And the Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were fewest of all people." God loved them and chose them. And we read very clearly that God said that this is a special people of any other nation, a people above the peoples of the world. Exodus chapter 19, listen to verse 5. "Now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine." Does God have a particular eye toward the nation of Israel? I think it's important to understand that He does. Psalm 135 verse 4, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure." Americans can whine about it all they want. It doesn't matter. God chose the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9, the last part of the verse, "Jacob is the lot of his inheritance." 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 53, "For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest out our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord our God. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name, and thou art mine. That's what God has said. You're in Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. I submit unto you that God has chosen the nation of Israel to be a peculiar people. That being said, I believe it's essential for us to recognize and to remember the promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 3. I'll read this to you. But God gave a promise to Abraham, and listen to this promise. He said, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now that latter statement is a reference to the coming Messiah and how the people will be saved, the whole world will be blessed because of Jesus Christ that will come through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the children of Israel, and of course, down through David, and Jesus came into this world. But that first part of the verse, I think it's important to recognize God said, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee." I'm glad to read that when the resolution was passed, although the Americans did not oppose it, they abstained from it, but they did not turn against Israel. And I think it's a very grave day when our nation will turn its back on Israel. I think that that'll be a very destructive day. As of yet, we still support Israel. We back Israel. Why is that important? Because if you believe the Word of God, if you believe the things that I've been expressing you here today and demonstrating out of the Scripture, then you'll understand that Israel is God's favored nation. It's just the way it is. And He says, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee." And if we turn our back on Israel and we curse Israel, you can expect this nation to go down very, very quickly. Because God said, "I will bless or I will curse." Proof of this is further found when Isaac pronounces a blessing upon Jacob. Listen, if you will, Genesis chapter 27. These remaining verses I'll read to you. "Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brother, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Listen, cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." That's Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. Even Balaam, when they came up out of Egypt, old Balaam, the false prophet, declared truth. And here's Balaam's blessing, Numbers chapter 24, verse 9. "He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee." And then finally we have God's confirmation in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 22. "But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do that which I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary to thine adversaries." I don't know about you, but to me that says that if we become an adversary of Israel, God will become an adversary to us. That's the way I read it. And I'm glad that our nation, as a nation, supports the children of Israel because of these very things. Last thing I just mentioned in passing, we should support God's people. I believe that. We ought to support the children of Israel. As a matter of fact, the Scripture tells us in Psalm 122, verse 6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." You love Israel? Do you pray for peace for Israel? God said, "I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee." I believe with all my heart that land is theirs. And the UN has no right to tell them what to do. And the 70 nations gathering together, which they don't have the right to do either. But I just see that the end time's coming about and the world turning against Israel. And if you know end time prophecy, you recognize they're all going to come against that little land there and do their best to destroy it. God will have victory. Until then, I pray that our nation never turns its back upon the nation of Israel. Woe unto us when that happens. I believe God. I believe His Word. And I believe the land is theirs. Get what you can out of it, and may God bless your heart. Let's stand. Father, we ask that you bless your word. Help us to be mindful of these things, and let us do pray for your chosen nation. And Lord, that you would grant them peace and prosperity. And Lord, turn the hearts of the world away from them instead of toward them. And we pray that your will be done. We know it shall in the process of time. We just trust you. We love you. Help us to live for you and to serve you well. And let us be a witness for Jesus' sake. Again, we pray for the lost, that they might be saved. Lord, speak to their hearts as only you can. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 190 is the song I've chosen.